After many days of gray and rainy weather, I was a bit startled to be awakened yesterday morning by sunlight pouring in through the slats of the bedroom blinds. My first thought was, wow, that's bright. No more rain. My second thought, after looking at the clock at the bedside table, was, it's only 7? Shouldn't it be much later if it's this bright? My third thought was, we need to get blackout shades so I can sleep later. This bright sun is going to interrupt my much-needed beauty rest. Funny how one's attitude can change so quickly. Funny how an attitude of gratitude can so abruptly shift to a dynamic of discontent. The fact that light comes pouring in during the season of Epiphany is not merely happenstance. The theme of this season is light. Epiphany begins with the bright star in the sky leading the wise men to the Christ child. It continues by developing the theme of Christ as the light of the world, the light that illumines our darkness, the light that causes us to see our lives in our world as we have never seen them before. Words like illumine and shine and glow and radiate appear in our collects. How do we respond to the light? How do we respond to the one who illumines our lives and our world? Perhaps we respond in gratitude, or perhaps we want to run away, pull the blanket over our heads, and not be disturbed by the illumining one. Perhaps we don't want our lives or our world illuminated. Perhaps we like the darkness just fine. John, whose gospel we hear this time of year, calls on the opening lines of Genesis to describe the coming of Christ into the world. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him, and without him, not one thing came into being. What has come into being in him was life, and the life was the light of all people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. Those are the opening lines of the Gospel of John, the lines that begin the chapter that we hear the ending verses of today. Genesis opens with these words, "In the beginning, when God created the heavens and the earth was a formless void. Darkness covered the face of the deep, while a wind from God swept over the face of the waters. Then God said, 'Let there be light,' and there was light. And God saw that the light was good." John wants us to remember this passage from Genesis when we hear the opening voice verses of his gospel. He wants us to put the two together. He wants us to know that Jesus was with God from the beginning and that in him there is a new beginning, a new creation. That the things that were cast down are being raised up, and that the things that had grown old are being made new, and that all things are being brought to their perfection in him. The light that was brought into the world in creation is again entering creation, but this time in a very specific and personal way, as one of us, in human form, as a man with a body. Bodies are strange things. In part because of the historical influence of the Puritans in our world, we try our best to ignore our bodies. We don't really want to talk about our bodies. We, especially those of us in church, like to put all our eggs in the spiritual basket. It's much easier to focus on things spiritual than on things bodily. We have a history of being quite discontent with our bodies. And that discontentment seems to grow more and more with each generation. Media hasn't helped out. The interesting thing about the demons of media and culture is that without our assent, they would have no power or authority. If we shun the notion that our bodies should be perpetually perky, our hair is pre-adolescent shade and our faces forever wrinkle-free, the billions of dollars generated by our insecurity would dry up. Imagine what it would be like to be secure in your body, happy with the shape and condition you are in, not the condition you want to be in, or the shape you were in 20, 30, 40, or even 50 years ago. Imagine being content at 16 and 65 and everything in between and beyond. Imagine that God created us as we are, aging included, and that He has looked on His creation and found it to be good. In Paul's first letter to the Corinthians, he reminds the good people of Corinth that God has given them their bodies and that their bodies are connected to Christ. He does all this to try and deter their aberrant behavior. That's most often what comes to mind when thinking of our bodies and their relationship to God. The line from Corinthians, "Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you?" is most often quoted to induce fear and trembling, guilt and trepidation on the quivering recipient. Do you not know that you should not overeat? Do you not know that smoking is bad for you? Your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit, therefore you should keep it in tip-top shape. And while this is true, we should treat our bodies with care and respect. We should also be able to hear these as words of assurance, not just inducers of guilt and remorse. Your body, the very body that you have, is a temple of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is within you. Not the you that you wish you were. Not the you that you would like to be. Not the you that you were 20 or 30 years ago. But the you that you are right this very minute. Imperfections and all. The Spirit is happy to dwell in you. Imperfect you. And me. Imperfect me. Jesus is gathering his disciples. He is going all over the countryside looking for those who would follow him. He sees some fishermen who are probably in pretty good physical shape because of the business that they're in. But there's no mention of that or of their appearance at all. He goes to tax booths and invites a tax collector, Matthew. He's probably a bit pudgy. Maybe he even has bags under his eyes from all those late nights of counting money. A woman follows this man, Jesus. She has 7 demons. Can you imagine what that looks like? Jesus goes after each of these people. They don't search him out. He finds them, all shapes and sizes and conditions of people. He finds them right where they are. Today we hear about the invitation given to Nathanael to follow Jesus. The invitation comes from his friend Philip, who is excited and energized and wants everyone he knows to have a part of this. Philip found Nathanael and tells him he and some others have encountered the Messiah. He's from Nazareth. Philip says, and then Nathanael retorts, "Can anything good come out of that place? Seriously, he's from Oxford? Not a chance." Jesus hears this, and rather than calling Nathanael out for his obvious prejudice, Jesus says, "Here's an Israelite in whom there is no deceit." Nathanael was himself. He was just who he was. He didn't put on airs. He didn't pretend to be something he was not. Here he was, biased and skeptical and maybe even a little cynical. Maybe he also had acne or ulcers or bad teeth. Maybe he had a mole on his nose. Maybe he just had crow's feet around his eyes, or his eyes were too close or too far apart. Maybe he had huge ears. None of that seems to be very important to Jesus, who comes to us as one of us, in a body, just like ours, which, contrary to our historical images, was probably not any more perfect than yours or mine. I feel certain he had some pretty ugly calluses on his feet from all that walking. And while you may consider that a bit irreverent, it's important to consider. You've been called in the condition that you are in. And you are loved in the condition that you are in. And you are a temple of the Holy Spirit in the condition you are in. The very person that you are right this moment, at this time, and in this place. Let the light of Christ shine on you. Absorb that light and radiate it from you so that you, like Philip, can bring others into the knowledge and love of Christ. Love that meets us right where we are. Amen.